Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
Executives and managers assigned by their employers as fiduciaries to serve on employee benefit plan committees typically manage major business units like finance, human resources, legal, and engineering, just to name a few. To be successful, though, they have to possess certain traits in the fiduciary role not typical of their academic experience or corporate functions. Unfortunately, not all of those traits are intuitive. Hi, this is Ron Hagen. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. In today's podcast, I want to help you understand traits that highly effective fiduciaries possess. I'm going to describe a fiduciary toolkit designed for you with knowledge, procedures, and performance measurements that will help you drive operations, strategy, and compliance. An adequately equipped checklist should be a top of the list priority for executives who serve their employers as retirement plan fiduciaries. Most would agree that a toolkit constructed from industry best practices would provide the potential for calm assurance and peace of mind. However, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or ERISA, which defines fiduciary behavior principles, doesn't codify or specifically describe best practices. As a result, questions can linger about where to find them and how they are updated. So we're going to examine today the four major skill sets or disciplines and how to prove you adhere to them. The first one I'll cover is the investment discipline. Investment outcomes sustain the lifeblood of a retirement plan. And it seems almost obvious then that anyone serving in a management capacity for a retirement plan should have better than average skills in the field of investments and know how to manage the investment decision-making process. Now, while the high visibility of plan assets makes this skill set obvious for most retirement plan executives, awareness about the other three critical ERISA fiduciary disciplines is often overlooked or lacking. The categories of governance, administration, and controls combine to form the what I'll call the tripwire for many of the legal problems encountered by the ERISA retirement plan sponsor community. For example, the U.S. Department of Labor and the courts have debunked the myth that achieving the best possible investment returns of investment funds offered in defined contribution retirement plans forms the crux of a plan fiduciary's responsibility. Due to the abundance of reports, presentations, and marketing paraphernalia that many investment vendors present to fiduciaries during committee meetings about selection and performance of investment funds, fiduciaries often assume, and easily so, that their investment duty is to ensure positive investment outcomes for their retirement plan participants. Investment performance does not, however, define a fiduciary's obligation under the investments discipline. ERISA states that fiduciaries should manage an investment decision-making process as a prudent person would do. In other words, we don't really make investment decisions, we manage a process. Financial prudence is all about acting in trust of someone else's resources. Economic sense implies that favorable financial returns should be a natural outgrowth of prudent investment management by executing ethical decisions on behalf of one's stakeholders. In this case, it would be the retirement plan participants. So investment returns are a distant secondary measurement of a fiduciary's investment management skills. The primary measurement is the process used to oversee the investments. Now, here are some best practices that we can lay out and follow to ensure that we're performing well in the role of the investment fiduciary. Given the esoteric nature of the investment selection process, it's rare that a retirement plan fiduciary has the background or knowledge to act as an investment manager for their plan adequately. Therefore, the investment discipline's best practice is to select an experienced, independent investment advisor to monitor the retirement plan's investments on behalf of the fiduciary committee. Focusing on evaluating the advisor's process instead of specific fund selections, the fiduciary's investment role shifts to one that fiduciaries can excel at. Besides selecting an independent investment advisor, that aligns with ERISA's preferred fiduciary model, by the way, having an authentic expert at the helm of each of the critical disciplines of fiduciary duty ensures prudent conduct. Now, be sure you understand the implications of the prudence requirement before entering into or continuing any investment advisory relationship with the vendor, because, as I indicated a moment ago, ERISA requires that fiduciaries, including investment advisors, be independent and free of any bias or conflicts of interest. I'll leave that one with you to decide how to interpret that. Well, governance is the next skill set we'll cover. It's the definition of a retirement plan's chain of command and its scope of responsibilities. For fiduciary duty under ERISA, the governance discipline provides a structure for accountability. This skill set determines how a retirement plan management team will organize its leadership function and why it will do so. Governance includes the retirement plan's design features, naming the plan's internal fiduciaries, defining the scope of their responsibilities along with a training schedule, and setting policies for topics like conflicts of interest, investments, data security, and vendor management. The governance discipline also embraces the creation and adoption of bylaws and guiding rules for the executive class that populates a committee. Now, a retirement plan's governance system should embody and support the organization's vision, its mission, its core values, its strategic direction, and its employment principles. There are two fundamental tenets of an adequately developed governance system that I'd like to communicate to you. First of all, the governance system should be efficient and effective. It should balance the need for timely, informed decisions with the primary fiduciary's meaningful participation in the decision-making process. Second, the governance system should provide for transparent decision-making processes. Now, not to be confused with the services provided by third-party administration firms or TPAs, the administration discipline includes the tools, technology, and mechanisms that are used to carry out fiduciary responsibilities. With the U.S. Department of Labor's heightened focus on this discipline in recent years, more attention is focused on fulfilling these responsibilities. That's the administration discipline. Before the DOL decided to increase its audits of administration competency, many employers simply assumed that these responsibilities were being satisfied by their retirement plans vendors, and that in turn measurably increased an employer's and the primary fiduciary's risks and potential liabilities. As hundreds of Department of Labor audits and class action lawsuits now reveal, effective execution of ERISA's administration mandate requires up-to-date information systems and a quality management system monitored by capable personnel. Now, because the administration discipline entails direct information exchanges with plan participants and a heightened regulatory oversight, it's critical to ensure that administration systems work seamlessly, and this includes everything from record keeping to payroll and beyond. The best way to ensure that the most up-to-date resources are available to plan participants is to outsource this fiduciary function to an accredited record keeping organization. But I will raise a caution. In recent months, we have seen the emergence of what's called the 316 fiduciary record keeper. Just in summary, and for another podcast, which we'll deal with in the future, you should avoid signing up for a record keeper's so-called 316 fiduciary service. First of all, to do so, it creates a conflict of interest that ERISA prohibits, and it will plague your plan from day one. What's more, a review of the record keeper's proposed contract will likely reveal a stripped-down list of services that are not really fiduciary at all. Okay, let's move on to the last of the disciplines. That's the controls discipline. This skill set includes the measurement of practices and progress against an established standard. ERISA encourages fiduciaries to measure what is done, that's performance, and how it's accomplished, that's process. The DOL reiterates the prudent process rule as emphasized earlier under our discussion of the investments discipline. Well-developed, consistently reviewed controls assure a retirement plan's participants and the Department of Labor that fiduciaries have implemented a stringent evaluation process for handling the participants' accounts. Controls and the practices that are the subject of their oversight are procedures performed routinely, some every day. Now, an example is completing a requisition form or obtaining a distribution approval or executing a consent or storing data in archives. These acts are both a practice and a control, which are essential to tracking and recording critical activities over time that relate to the overall fiduciary process. Properly performing control functions can significantly reduce the risk of errors and omissions, often exposing fiduciaries to their most challenging legal liabilities. So here's the best practice for the controls discipline. An annual audit of a retirement plan's management practices and service providers' arrangements is a foolproof way to ensure fiduciaries are risk-free and in compliance with ever-changing ERISA regulations. As fiduciary law moves further into the spotlight, both for regulators and plans participants, fiduciaries have to take appropriate measures to document their efforts to maintain the highest level of standards for managing their employee benefit program. An annual process audit, not to be confused with the annual financial audit, helps to reinforce both audiences that the company's leadership is a responsible steward of its stakeholders' valuable retirement and benefit plan assets. Well, let's summarize what we've covered. The issues faced by retirement plan fiduciaries aren't static. Employees come and go, tax laws change, vendors, technical jargon evolves, regulatory focus shifts, reporting requirements grow more complex, and securities markets remain volatile. So in order to keep pace, ERISA expects fiduciaries to achieve continuous improvement in their skills, methods, and certainly their results. The contents of a well-equipped fiduciary toolkit would embrace all four fiduciary disciplines that we've discussed here today. Now, according to the Department of Labor, an awareness of those skill sets is the first step toward aligning with the retirement plan management best practices. Continuous improvement in the fiduciary realm doesn't have to mean large-scale changes in how you're doing things today. By making minor tweaks throughout the fiduciary journey, individuals and committees that manage plans, regardless of size, can reduce defects, remove activities that do not add value to participants, and improve the balance between fees paid for retirement plans and the quality of the services that vendors deliver. Excelling in the fiduciary role is not a destination, but it's a continual growth path. Well, as we conclude today's episode, I invite you to join us for the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast next week. In the meantime, feel free to contact me by email at excellentfiduciary@rolandchris.com. You may connect with Roland Chris on LinkedIn for frequent posts on this and other fiduciary management topics, or you may also visit our website at rolandchris.com. Until next time, have a great week.